Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Well, it's a busy season. And even people who are not believers are celebrating. Some of them don't know what. But I believe that in this country that everyone knows what Christmas is about. And I think that it's funny that people try to take down the symbols of Christmas. I mean, they want all the manger scenes removed. They want the crosses removed. They want the angels removed. And I wrote something a while back about that. It's like someone trying to put the sun out with a garden hose. The symbol of Christmas is Christ in you. And if people can see Christ in you, it isn't about whether they see a manger scene somewhere. It isn't about whether they see a cross somewhere. Matter of fact, God didn't even tell us to build manger scenes. And he didn't tell us to wear crosses. What he told us was to be the light of the world and let the light shine through you. Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. Behold, I send my messenger before you, your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judah and those in Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And you say, that's a strange-looking guy. Well, maybe it was cashmere. Maybe he didn't look so bad. The locusts and wild honey I would have trouble with. But he wasn't of this world. He was just in it. He realized that he wasn't of this world. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this day that you lead us through this message. Lord, I pray that you lift us above the circumstances of our time, that you give us the outline of what you want us to do and what you want us to be. And for that, we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. How do we prepare for the Lord's coming? What should we be doing now in order to show the world that Jesus Christ is real? And around Christmas time, we think about that. We think about God coming to earth to show us a way. Well, John the Baptist came with those specific orders that he was to make a way for the Savior. And let me look at what he did. In Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the beginning of the gospel. It didn't begin when Jesus was born. It began here with John the Baptist. It began here with John the Baptist saying, look at yourselves, look at the law, and understand that you are not living right. You're not living, not It isn't that you're not living according to the Bible. It isn't that you're not living according to what is right. You know yourself that you're not living right. You're not comfortable with the life that you are choosing. You're not comfortable with the choices you are making. And those choices come back to haunt you. They come back to bite you. And John the Baptist went out, and he was calling the people out and saying, "You don't have to live like this anymore. Come out, confess your sins, and be baptized." And they came out, and they confessed their sins, and they were baptized. Let me give you a little history lesson. In 597 B.C., it was the ending of the reign of the Persian king Cyrus the Great. And in 539 B.C., Jerusalem was taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Now, the Babylonian Empire was a big empire, and they were wicked. They took everyone captive. They moved people out of their homes. They took the smart ones, and they moved them into their country. So they moved the, when they took over Jerusalem and Israel, they moved the people back into Iran, back into Babylon, to a strange place. And that's where we have Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. But they were in captivity under the Babylonian Empire. Now, what's that got to do with John the Baptist? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 14, or just listen, I'm just going to read one verse from there. Verse 8. "And another angel followed, saying, 'Babylon has fallen the great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication.'" Revelation is a dual book. Revelation is pointing out all the way through it, if you want to understand it, it's pointing out something that happened with the Israelite nation. It's pointing out their lifespan through here from the beginning through the end till Jesus comes, and it is showing us what is happening with the realm of heaven with those who believe in him and those who are coming to him for salvation. It's a dual book. It's talking about a spiritual line and it's talking about a physical line. And here we see both those lines, and I want to show you how John the Baptist fits in to this spiritual line of what happened in history to the Israelites when they were taken into captivity. Revelation chapter 16, verse 19 says this, "Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the city of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her cup of wine of the fierceness of her wrath." So Babylon was known for her wrath. She was known for the wickedness that she did unto the people that she captured. In chapter 17, verse 5 says, "And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and of the abominations of the earth." So these same things that he is talking about Babylon, he's talking about the world that has fallen into sin and has fallen away from God. And he's talking about a coming Savior, just as he is talking about one coming to deliver the Israelites out of the hands of Babylon. Well, let me show you what happens here. In chapter 18, verse 1, "After these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and earth was illuminated with his glory." So now God is sending the spiritual down in order to confront what is happening physically on the earth. Now follow me. This is going to get good. You're going to have to follow me. 18, 9 and 10. "The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxurious with her will weep and lament for her, for when they see the smoke of her burning, standing in the distance for far of the torment, saying, 'Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come.'" And just as the judgment came down on Babylon, the judgment is coming down on the world. And there's going to be a Savior, a Deliverer. Revelation chapter 18, verse 21. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore." And we cannot find Babylon anymore. We can find ruins of it in Iraq, but we cannot find Babylon any longer. It was King Hussein that said that he was going to rebuild Babylon. Well, God had different plans. Babylon is gone. The same as the yoke that is on mankind of being not being able to come to Christ is gone. Now we go back to Mark. Verse 1 through 3. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Mark his path straight." Then we look over into Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11, and let me read. "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, saith your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended and her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain shall be brought low. Crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass and all its loveliness is like a flower in the field. And grass withers and the flowers fade because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. O Zion, who brings good tidings, get up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift up, be not afraid, says the city of Judah. Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He will feed his flocks like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with the young. So he is saying to Babylon, he said, I'm going to deliver you, the children of Israel. I'm going to deliver you out of the land of Babylon. I'm sending one, and he's going to say, get ready for the deliverance. Get ready, because God is coming. He's going to deliver you. Just as he has sent John the Baptist, he said, now if you want to see who John the Baptist is, look at what happened back here, because this is what's going to happen here. There is one that is coming that's going to be a deliverer. And John the Baptist said that one that is coming is Jesus Christ, and he's going to deliver you from the bondage that you are in, and that bondage you are in isn't Babylon. That bondage you are in is sin. And sin is because you're tied to the world. And if you're tied to the world, you cannot be tied to God. We are a kingdom people. We live in that, and we experience that. And when you see the kingdom of God open up, the things of the world grow gravely dim, as the old song says. They're not as enticing, because we are searching his will and his way. And he said, if we search his will and his way, he will take care of us. He will give us the food, the clothing. We don't have to worry about the things of the earth or our body. All we need to worry about are the things of God. And John the Baptist came and he said, I prepare the way for Jesus Christ to come. We as Christians, we as a church, need to be preparing the way for Jesus Christ to come. The same way as they did it when they were led out of the land of Babylon, the same way that they did it when Jesus came, when John the Baptist was leading people into Jesus Christ. We are to prepare a way. Number one, John the Baptist was not tied to the things of the world. He wore camel's hair and a leather belt. He ate locusts and wild honey. And you say, well, preacher, that is really simple. What God is saying is, he's saying, don't get tied to the world. Don't get all tied up with it. Don't have something that you have to do so that you can't serve God. I was talking to somebody this week on the phone, and they were saying to me, they say, you know, I believe, but I'm really not in church that much. I said, you're not in church at all. Well, but I try. I try to come when I can. I said, no, you have a boat. You try to go boating when you can. Well, I do have a boat, but you know, in the winter, I don't use a boat. What I'm saying is, when you get a taste of the kingdom of God, you want to live there. When you get a taste of God's people, you want to be around them. And the Bible says we as a church must make a way for people to come to Jesus Christ. And that means that we must show them that we're not connected to the world or the things of the world. The big parties of the world do not interest me. They never have. Why have they never interested me? Because of the fact that I was born again when I was young. And I understood by the time I was 19 my calling. And I understood what God had to offer. Now, you're going to mess up from time to time. Alex is 18. He's going to mess up from time to time. But he's got it. Don't be too hard on him. Well, from time to time. These kids we're raising around here, they're good kids. They're going to serve the Lord when they grow up. So be careful. You kids know the preacher's got your back. Okay? And I believe in tough love. Because God had my back. And you're going to stumble into things. You're going to get tight in the world. And sometimes something's going to hit you broadside and you don't expect it. And you're going to try to fix it in a worldly way rather than a godly way. But John the Baptist wasn't tied to the world. And he called people to repentance. And the Bible says everyone came. Everyone came. I had Walker Davison's funeral, Pastor Kay and I, just a week or so ago. And I remember when Walker became a Christian. And I remember when his brother James became a Christian. And I remember when there were so many in the church, Heather's grandpa became a Christian. And Ray Ellibrock was the first one. And these people had been in church and around the church. And I said, for 2 years I preached salvation messages, and I thought the reason I was preaching those was so that we could, it's the only thing we really all agreed on. But God knew different. God knew there were a lot of people sitting out there that never came to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I didn't have to tell them they were lost. They knew it. They knew they needed Christ, and they hadn't submitted unto him. I didn't have to go point my finger at them and say, you need to get saved. They knew in their heart they needed Christ. John the Baptist was calling people to repentance, and they all came and repented because of the fact they knew they needed to repent. They knew what their sin was. They knew that thing that so easily beset them. They knew whether there's jealousy, envy, strife, hatred, high-mindedness, haughtiness, as the list goes on in the Bible. They knew they didn't have the peace, the joy, the long-suffering, the meekness, the temperance that goes along with being a Christian. And John the Baptist taught that. But he said, there's one coming. You come to me, but there's one coming whose laces of the shoes I am not worthy to untie. The church isn't the end all, folks. Just because you're accepted as a church member, that doesn't mean everything's okay. What means everything is okay is when you meet this Jesus of who I am not worthy to tie his shoes. Which you are not worthy to tie his shoes. John the Baptist came humble. And there's something about the humility and the humbleness of John the Baptist that he could look anyone in the eye and say, what you need is Jesus. Who you need is Jesus. And that's what we're supposed to be. People are not supposed to look at our yard and say, oh, he's a Christian. People are supposed to look in our eyes and see our heart and know that we are Christians. People are supposed to see how we react when we're in the mall. I said, for years, I don't try to find the closest parking spot around between Thanksgiving and Christmas at the mall. I try to park out so someone else can park in. Because people might know that I'm a Christian. And I want that testimony to speak. And I need the testimony to speak louder than how far I have to walk. I backed in out here by your house, Judy. I backed in out here, and Alex backed in beside me. And I thought, that's pretty good. These young people are giving up the parking spots to the older ones. When I came here, I had them take the sign off. They had a parking spot right by the door of the church. It said, pastor's parking. And I said, take that off. I can walk. Man, I was only 35. Do we still have that sign? And I thank the Lord that I can walk that far. Some of you can't even walk from the parking places out there that we have for handicap. And we have men outside that are willing to park your car for you. All you need to do is ask, and they'll park it for you. Because in order to show who Jesus is, we must be humble. And John the Baptist was humble. And by John the Baptist's humility, he showed them that what they needed was Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, they were going to be baptized different than while he baptized. You know, there's a lot of baptisms in the Bible. It talks about being baptized by fire. We have baptism by water. We even had baptism by sprinkling some places in the Old Testament. The sprinkling of the blood, the sprinkling, they call it baptism. They call the baptism of Moses because the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea and they were baptized unto Moses in the Old Testament because God opened the Red Sea and they walked between the sea. Baptism is a putting under. And he said, there's one that comes after me that will put you under the power of his Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit will give you the unction and the power that you need to get above this world. That's the baptism he was talking about. And that means we are totally submerged in Jesus Christ. We understand we're not of this world. We're just passing through. And he said, this one who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And that's God. And God in you is the hope of glory. Not because you go and tell everybody you're a Christian. It's because people can see that you're a Christian. Not because you're making people uncomfortable about saying no to this or saying no to that. It's because you're making people comfortable about being in your presence. I had a job with a major company in this country. And I was a district manager before I came here. And there were five of us, four covered this country and one covered Europe. And it was owned by Bob and Jay Pritzker out of Chicago. They owned Union Tank Car Company, Cargo Hat Company, and some of the others. And one of the things that I thank the Lord for is he gave me a spirit of power. I had to show up at all the dinners, and I had to be there at the cocktail parties. But I didn't partake of the cocktails because I didn't need to be accepted. They accepted me because everybody that came to those meetings, I tried to help. Everyone that was there, I tried to help them. You know what they had asked me before they go to bed? They'd say, Mr. Fry, I had too much to drink. Will you make sure and call me? And if I don't answer, beat on my door so that I'm up and I don't miss a meeting. I said, sure, I'll do that for you. Because through your kindness, you'll win people to Jesus Christ. Through your love, you'll win people to Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was beheaded. And he laid down his life because he knew there was life in Christ. John the Baptist knew who Jesus was. So he was able to lead people to Jesus. Church today, if you know who Jesus is, you will win people to Jesus. You'll win them because you are kind. You'll win them because you love them. You'll live them because you're able to look past their sin and see their needs. You'll win them because they see Christ in you. The Bible says, taste and see that God is good. Hebrews 1:8, I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Let us stand. Lord, I pray that everyone be submerged in this baptism. I pray, Lord, that we accept you wholeheartedly, that we allow your Spirit to lead us and guide us, because you said you would come into us. And greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And Lord, we know that that power within us is greater than anything that comes before us. And Lord, this world isn't an easy place, and you don't make it easy for us. We go through the same trials as everyone else does, the same sicknesses that everyone else does, the same loss of jobs that others go through. But Lord, you can lift us above every circumstance because we trust you. We know where we live, and it's in your kingdom. So Lord, I pray this day that you bless each one of us for being here. But Lord, most of all, I pray that we submit ourselves unto your baptism. Submit ourselves into you wholly, totally sanctified, set apart unto God. Help us to prepare the way for others to come to Jesus Christ. This church has been a lighthouse, and Lord, through the years, we've seen many saved, baptized, added to the church, lives change. Might we continue to see it, and Lord, might you increase it this year and next year. And we'll give you the thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.